Welcome on in to Studio 2. I'm hungry. And I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Avi, I know why you're hungry, because this is a big day for you.
It's a big day for
me. It's a big day. Why? Because we're talking about food. And if you know anything about Avi, he loves food.
I like to eat.
He likes to
eat.
It
is a basic human urge,
yeah,
in my defense.
Yeah, but you really enjoy it.
I do. I
sit next to him in our
Yesterday, I took you to one of my favorite spots.
Cubes. I see him eating the most amazing lunches. So I'm eating like a boring lunch. He's eating like this amazing, delectable lunch. And so today, we're going to be talking about some of the best restaurants in the region, not just in Philly, but in, we're talking South Jersey, some of the counties as well.
All included.
The Philadelphia Inquirer just dropped the 76. It's their first annual list of the 76 best restaurants in the region. We have Inky food critic Craig LeBan, who's going to join us.
And
he's been eating his way through the city, okay,
and
the
region. For a long time.
Yeah, and did it especially for this list. So we're going to talk about that. And we want to involve you. We want to include you into this conversation. So what's your best restaurant pick in our region? This is your chance to shout out your special occasion spot or your go-to budget pick. And please tell us your favorite dish on the menu. You can give us a call right now, 888-477-9499, or email studio2@whyy.org.
Daniil says, the pub at Pensauken. Me and the salad bar can get down anytime. Double pour drink is life.
Who doesn't
never
like a
even heard
pour
of that place? Also, by the way, because it's a Thursday, it's another Studio 2 DJ day.
DJ day.
DJ day.
You got to get a little look.
DJ
something.
Day. we do this on every Thursday. We always end, we end basically every show with a song that relates to the topic of that day's show. But on Thursdays, we let one of you pick that song. So send a song suggestion to studio2@whyy.org no later than 12:30. Gotta get it in before then. We're gonna pick one winning song and shout out the winner at the end of the show. And again, it's gotta be related to the theme of the show today.
But yeah, give them some things to think about.
So we did do a food theme show last week.
And it was
so
Eat It.
Don't pick that. Eat It by Weird Al. But restaurants, meals, dining, being the best at something, those are all potential avenues to stroll down there. So again, studio2@whyy.org to be our Studio 2 DJ of the day.
I'm looking forward to that, because our listeners, they pull out some interesting songs.
They do. A lot of stuff I've never heard.
Yeah,
I'm also looking forward to our trio of local news stories. And let's start with this one. New ruling by the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court says that counties have to allow voters to fix mistakes on their mail-in ballots with a provisional ballot. This was a 4-3 ruling against Butler County, saying that they must count provisional ballots from people whose mail-in ballots were rejected because of some sort of mistake. And so, across the Commonwealth, unless something happens very soon, across the Commonwealth, if your mail-in ballot is rejected, you are allowed to, or there's some potential problem with it, you are allowed to cast a provisional ballot. Now, there are still discrepancies among counties in terms of whether they will notify you.
So you might not even know. Yeah.
So you might not even know, but you do have the right now to cast a provisional ballot. So a major decision from the state Supreme Court.
Yeah, and this affects thousands of ballots every single election, among the millions that get cast in Pennsylvania. And given the closeness of this race, every single vote counts. So the court says that making this provisional ballot option statewide sort of balances the need for voter access as well as election protection, because double voting is not permitted.
Right.
But if you think, like, if you're worried, if you're like, oh, I don't know if I signed, you can do this provisional ballot. Yeah. And if your mail-in ballot was rejected, that provisional ballot will count.
This is interesting. So a lot of the Republican-leaning counties have been the ones that have been against this. And they're also the ones that don't notify.
Yeah.
A lot of the Democratic counties notify or publish lists.
Yep.
I wonder now if the Republicans are sort of shooting themselves in the foot with this one. Because we've seen some interesting polling data suggesting that the new messaging trying to convince Republicans to cast mail-in ballots has started to work. And so if those people are making mistakes and then not being notified by the Republican-leaning counties, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. Yeah. And this is fast changing.
And it's so close. The race is going to likely be very close. So, yeah.
One more quick lawsuit story, by the way. And this is a good one from our WHYY reporters, Kenny Cooper and Emily Neal.
Good reporting.
Yeah, it's good reporting. They found out that counties, suburban counties in the Philadelphia region on the Pennsylvania side, have had to spend $2.6 million of taxpayer money fending off 2020 election challenges. And that's just the amount paid to outside counsel. That does not count the money that they've, or the resources they've invested with in-house counsel. Bucks County alone has fought 100 election-related lawsuits since 2020.
Wow.
So this is the cost of a lot of frivolous litigation to our counties.
Wow. And we'll probably have more litigation following this election.
Yep.
So brace yourselves, right?
Inform yourself by going to whyy.org/election.
Mm-hmm. Check out all our coverage.
Check out all our election 2024 election coverage, complete breakdowns of the candidates and the issues. You can go to whyy.org and you can also look for that election 2024 tab on the home screen. And now, Cherry,
yes,
let's ride the train down to the shore.
Yes. So take a listen to this.
Watch the tram car, please. Watch the tram car, please.
So if you've been to Wildwood, you probably heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a woman has sued the city of Wildwood over that recording that she made. Guess what, Avi? In 1971.
That's a throwback.
Yeah. Her name is Floss Stengel.
But what is the recording
for? The recording is what they use on the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. They have this tram that sort of travels throughout the boardwalk. And if you've been to Wildwood, you've seen the tram, and this is the recording you would hear.
To tell people to get out of the way.
People to get out of the way. And by the way, And I'll explain more about this. Floss Stengel is her name. She's 80 now. She's suing the city of Wildwood and several other entities for using that voice recording that you just heard of Watch the Tram Car, Please. They never paid her.
Wow.
They've been using it for decades. Okay.
She's an icon.
Apparently so. And she lives in Wildwood. You can still hear her voice, and she can even hear her voice if the wind blows the right way. And she recorded this message back in 1971 as a favor to her boyfriend. Look at that. Boyfriend favor.
Wasn't even thinking. He pressed record. She recorded it.
Yeah, and he worked for the company that operated the Wildwood tram cars.
Wow.
And the lawsuit claims that the defendants have been benefiting financially from using her voice for commercial purposes, including tram car tickets, memorabilia, and marketing events. And she argues that the defendants are using her likeness for commercial gain and that New Jersey law requires that they compensate her.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many questions. But chief, in my mind, what happened to the boyfriend?
Probably gone. Probably not. Yeah.
What happened to the boyfriend? Mm. He records, gives it, I guess, to his boss.
Mm-hmm.
They've been using it for 50 years. What happened to the boyfriend?
I have no idea. But let me tell you this. They've been playing that little recording 6,000 times a day.
Yeah, 6,000.
Yeah, and she's got not a penny.
Wow. I wonder if she has any legal standing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems wrong, but I don't know if she has any legal standing here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might. She might, because there's a website. They sell all sorts of memorabilia mentioning this.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she didn't know. I mean, I'm sure. But at the same time, did she acquiesce to this? Because it's been 50 years. She knew that this was going on.
We should have you just do both sides of this case.
I mean, she knew this was happening for 50 years. Why wait till now to speak out? So anyway, it's going to be an interesting lawsuit.
Our final story is about something that's not been around for 50 years, but a solid decade. And that is Billy Penn. We love Billy Penn, WHYY partner.
They're a tween.
Billy Penn. Are you a tween at 10?
At 10, yeah. 10,
oh,
11,
I thought you
12.
Had to be like more like 11. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, you're a tween. You're right. You're
double
a tween.
Double digits until you hit actual 13.
We missed this yesterday because we did not do a news chat yesterday. But Billy Penn turned 10 years old yesterday, which is a tremendous accomplishment for it started as a startup independent news site. And they've been able to stick around because they just do such interesting reporting. They cover the city in a totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a great celebration yesterday. To celebrate 10 years of Billy Penn. You know, Billy Penn is near and dear to me.
I know.
Partnered with
you
them
do
on
their
a lot
quizzo.
Of stuff. Billy Penn Quizzo, and also we've partnered on Headlines of Yore. So I love Billy Penn, and I do think that they really offer a perspective and a style that no other media outlet does in the city, so it's been awesome to have them as part of the WHYY family,
yeah.
And it's nice that they made it 10 years.
Congratulations to Billy Penn. By the way, I love Billy Penn. I always used to check out their newsletter, and that would turn you onto stuff you may have otherwise missed. I also want to shout out the fact that Billy Penn has sort of helped to grow so many amazing journalists in our area.
So true.
Some people got their start at Billy Penn, and then went on to bigger and better things. And not saying Billy Penn isn't great, but like they know how to pick them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It gives them some great experience.
Can I
so
shout out
to Billy? Yeah.
Layla Jones.
Layla A. Jones.
Michaela Weinberg.
Michaela Weinberg, yes.
Michaela Weinberg, what am I talking about? Max Maron.
Yes.
I think
just a few.
Anna Orso. Shout out to all those good
folks.
And
I got to shout out Fallon Roth, she was an intern at BP. Now she's a political intern at The Inquirer, and she's doing a great job. But
and for the rest of this hour, we're just going to list journalist names. So just Woodward, Bernstein, obviously got to start with them.
But it's just so great. And congratulations on making it to 10 years. And the media landscape is constantly changing. But Billy Penn, you know, chopping that wood, trucking along. I love it.
Grantland Rice.
That's
another journalist name for you. Okay, let's dig into our main topic this hour. One of our favorites, food.
Mm-hmm.
And first,
stomach already growling.
Let's set the table. Our producer, Andreas Copes, was out in South Philadelphia yesterday getting some restaurant recommendations.
Okay, my favorite restaurant growing up was always Mara's. We would always go for pizza. And we would always go to Villa di Roma and Bomb Bomb for Italian food.
I would probably say Capital Grill.
And why is that the best one out of all of them?
I got good steak. Yeah. Tamalex, honestly, around the corner is probably the one I go to the most.
What cuisine is it?
Mexican.
Mexican.
Yes. Okay.
I love it. Those were Philly residents, Christy, Caroline, and Lily. We heard shout outs for pizza, Italian, steak, Mexican, and that's the tip of the iceberg lettuce when it comes to cuisine across our region. A new project at the Philadelphia Inquirer rounds up the 76 restaurants that are defining Philly's dining scene right now. The list is a product of many decades of expertise and many, many meals eaten by Philadelphia Inquirer writers. I'm so jelly.
One of them is restaurant critic Craig LeBan, and I was watching Craig listen to that clip, nodding along with some of them and shaking his head at some of the others.
He joins
us in studio now to make the case for some of the spots on the 76 and explain what makes them so vital to our vibrant dining scene. Craig LeBan, welcome back to Studio 2.
It is so great to be back here and see you both, and I am already hungry. You should have told me to eat something before I got here.
I was thinking about that. I definitely should have eaten something today.
If you hear
today.
The little rumble, you know what it is, stomach growling. So, and diners, we also want to hear from you. What's the best restaurant in our region, in your opinion? Shout out your special occasion spot or your go-to budget pick, and be sure to tell us your favorite item on the menu. The number is 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org.
You can make your case directly
to Craig
LeBan.
Say, yeah. Craig, what's up? Why wasn't this on the list?
Yeah.
So, Craig, we wanted to just sort of, you might get people calling you and asking you that.
That's part of the job description.
Yeah. And part of the fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, Craig, you guys have this list of 76. I want to talk about how you came up with this list, because I read that you had about 300 that you went to and then whittled it down to 76. How did they even get to how did you get on the list of 300 first?
Yeah, that's really interesting. This whole process, you know, we've been doing a dining guide for about almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been mostly my job entirely, you know, to do this by myself. And it's a big lift. So this year we have a new crew members, a new food editor. We are really investing a lot in the food section and decided we're going to do something really ambitious, and we are going to include a broader group of the staff involved in really getting out there and live checking the dining scene. So the core food department, there's four or five of us, sat down and we started brainstorming, you know, just throwing names up on a board, like what are the most essential or vital restaurants in Philadelphia? And that's, sometimes it's a different question than what is best.
Best,
right?
Yeah. Vital is sort of different than best.
Yeah. And we sat down and we tried to come up with a list of, a big list of restaurants that reflect the broadest slice of what makes Philly delicious right now. In every community, in every corner, we wanted to represent every community in the city as much as we could, because we were all Philadelphians, and that patchwork is what makes us so delicious. Every neighborhood and the suburbs, of course, as well. And we had a few rules, and it was kind of interesting. And one of them was that only one restaurant per restaurant group could be chosen.
Oh, yeah. So they had
chef.
Like five or six.
Right.
Yeah.
So like there
Sorry,
some,
Steven Starr.
Yeah. We can talk about that.
Should we? I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it. But
no, I mean, but we would sit, there are some restaurant groups that are really prolific and have a lot of excellent restaurants. So it made a lot of hard decisions, like, you know, which of these restaurants do we think maybe is the most vital, or, you know, we for different reasons, you know, historically important, or they're doing one thing that's like really significant, or they're setting a trend, or they reflect a certain heritage or tradition. And so it made for a lot of interesting conversations. And
I love the complexity
restaurant.
Of that, too. It's like not just like, because we talked last time you were on the show about how you don't do bells anymore.
Yeah.
And just moving away from just thinking about things as like good and bad. One bell, two bells, three bells, etc. Like,
it's nuanced.
Thinking about things in a more nuanced way.
Yeah. I would say, you know, once you start with a list of 300 and you and then we assigned the restaurants to a whole group of people. A good half of them.
Yes.
Over the course
That's
of the
a lot
time.
Of eating.
Well, you know, it, and you got to do a lot of eating to get a, to get to the gleaming sort of jewels in the bunch, right? You know, because when you a lot of restaurants have a great reputation, and consistency is everything. So, you know, there are a lot of restaurants that people went to that I sort of expected them to have good experiences at, and they were like, it was not so great. And you know, that's just part of the process. But that's the value of this list. Is that it's many people, you know, coming together, a lot of differing opinions, but then we went out and ate the meals. And ate the meals in live time. These are all restaurants that have been spot checked by the Philadelphia Inquirer staffers within the last few months.
That's incredible.
And you guys also took vibe into it, because it was, I saw there's like some places the vibe was the thing.
Well, I'm a food-centric guy, because vibe is a relative thing, you know.
But if it's the food is good and the vibe is great.
Yes, absolutely. Every one of these, every one of the restaurants on this list should be delicious at its core. That's like the first qualifier. But vibes, you know, and vibes are relative. Like, you know, a date night vibe is different from, you know, going to the Reading Terminal, which has its own vibe. You know, terminals on the list. You know, it's like, what are you looking for? But ambiance is a big part of a dining experience. Yeah. Sure, it just depends what you're looking for.
And I love the categories within the list, because they're not what you would think. So I think it's fresh, icons, vibes, new guard, splurge, and walk-ins.
I really liked that. I was like, whoa, that's expensive
there. I liked that way of breaking it down. Okay, so I have to – we're getting a ton of comments because people are talking about their favorites. So I want to get some of these in before we get to some of yours. We have Alan, who says, my favorite Mexican comfort food in Philly is found at Quechula Es Puebla, North 2nd and Master Street in Kensington. Everything on the menu is awesome. The best thing is their flan.
Oh, yes.
Craig LeBan called it the best in Philly years ago, and it's still true.
I can still taste that flan.
Yeah. Quechula Es Puebla. I like that one. And we have Mora from Ridley. My absolute favorite barbecue place is called Tanglewood Fire and Smoke in Folsom, PA. You can't go wrong with anything on the menu, from ribs and brisket to crazy delicious sandwiches. But my absolute favorite is their buffalo pork belly
that
bites.
Sounds good.
That does sound good.
Okay.
So let's get into some of yours. And I wanted to start with something that really caught my eye in the fresh category. And it's a place called Rosemary. And it is a makeover of an old school Delco tavern in Ridley Park. And I love these stories of like a generational change encapsulated within a restaurant. So tell me, do you remember much about Rosemary?
I know a lot about Rosemary. And Rosemary is a really interesting case, because there's some news about Rosemary. And I don't want to scoop my colleagues, but, you know, Rosemary is a very ambitious restaurant in a part of southern Delco that doesn't really have destination places.
Yeah.
A beautiful makeover of an old tavern, and perhaps too ambitious based on the news that's coming out shortly.
Oh, wow.
Every time you put together, restaurants are living, breathing things. Yeah. So when you try to put your pin in a moment, you know, and say, here are 76 restaurants that are, you know, showing us what's hot right now, things change constantly.
Fast.
So, you know, we have to be mindful. That's just the landscape that we live in. I really love Rosemary. I love what they're doing, the ambition to sort of bring something different to a neighborhood that really craved it. But, you know, it's when you're doing something new in a neighborhood, you have to understand your demographic.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to sort of balance ambition with realistic business plans. And it's sometimes mysterious.
And so it's more than food. It's more than just food. Food is the core, but it seems like it's more than food.
In this case, it's drinks. And, you know, and sometimes it's a reputation that gets to be, oh, that's the upscale place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
And I want to invite you all to participate in this conversation. What's your best restaurant pick in our region? Shout out your special occasion spot, your go-to budget pick, and tell us the best thing on the menu. You can call us 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. I want to bring in a caller. Ricky in West Philly has a recommendation. Craig, we'll hear
all
that.
Right, Ricky,
you're on Studio 2. What's your recommendation, man? Hit us.
Hey, guys. Taco Mexicano on 44th off of Spruce in West Phily.
Taco Mexicano?
Yeah. And what's your go-to item on the list?
Birria quesadillas. Absolutely. 100% has to be. I know birria was like really popular like a couple years ago. It started getting really big again. And that's kind of when I discovered it. And then I just have been hooked ever since. I actually purchased my house in the area I purchased it in because it's close enough to the restaurant.
That's a
there you go.
A very solid all the way reason
in.
To do that.
Yeah, man, I think
buy a mortgage.
I think you're speaking to the right guy in Craig LeBan, who might make a similar type of investment based on proximity to restaurant. Thank you, Ricky, in West
that
Philly.
Was
Taco,
cool.
Taco.
And that's
Mexicano.
How you're taking notes, Craig.
Yeah, you know, because West Philly does, you know, has a wonderful eating neighborhood. It's not like a high concentration of good quality Mexican food. There is a place called Don Barriga, which we did. I actually went to check out for the process of the dining guide. I had a nice meal, but we have a very competitive Mexican scene, so it did not make the 76, but liked it. Taco, what was
Mexicano.
Mexicano.
Mm-hmm. And I will point out, as we go to break, you picked out a place in Camden that does Mexican food called La Ingrata, and we'll talk about it on the other side of the break, but I did note that because I'm so used to when I hear about Mexican food, it's always my neighborhood. It's always South Philly.
They have
and
a
it
lot
was cool to see like something like that pop up in a neighborhood I didn't know had Mexican cuisine. So Craig LeBan, sit tight. We've got so many more restaurants to get into, your recommendations and our listeners, and they are very prolific right now.
They're coming in.
So stick with us. You are listening to Studio 2 on WHYY.org, talking restaurants this hour.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day,
we are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
Right over here, 11th and Washington.
The food is always good. It's Vietnamese. It's always good. It's consistent. The portions are nice. Price is reasonable. It's a nice place, and the people who own it are very nice.
I mean, I guess I would just go with Steve's Steaks in Mayfair. You can't go wrong with that. But Assad's Chicken on Cotman and the Boulevard is also pretty good. It's like in a gas station, but don't let that deceive you. It's not bad.
Khmer Kitchen right over here is fantastic on 6th and Washington. Cambodian food, really good.
And those were the voices of Tony, Mike, and John, who talked to our producer, Andreas Copes, on Washington Avenue in South Philly yesterday. Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolf-Manero.
And I'm Cherry Gregg, and we're turning back to our conversation about the best restaurants in the region, from Chester County to Camden. Nothing is off limits. You can send your pick for the best restaurant to Studio 2 at WHYY.org or call us right now, 888-477-9499.
We heard in that clip, someone mentioned 11th and Washington, actually, and Jeremy from South Philly emails, I live across the street from Leviette.
I love that restaurant,
at 11th and Washington, and obviously this is the epicenter of Vietnamese cuisine in Philly, but I find this one to be the best. However, I'm always puzzled because it's seldom crowded. What does Craig think about Leviette? And I actually want to add to that, because someone else lower down, I'm looking for the comment, mentioned Nam Phuong. That's Peter, which is also at 11th and Washington and is a Vietnamese place. So let's talk Vietnamese food, Craig LeBan. Any thoughts, first of all, on Leviette, which is right in my neighborhood, but also you had some really interesting Vietnamese places on this list and places that I didn't even know about.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we talk about looking at covering the broadest diversity, broadest slice of Philadelphia's restaurants, there were certain cuisines that were stronger than just so present than others that we had to have more than just a handful of picks. Italian was one of them, Mexican for sure. And Vietnamese and Southeast Asian cuisine is also so strong in this city. So because we have so many great restaurants, and you know, one of the, part of the process was, you know, 76 sounds like a lot, but when you start naming all your favorite restaurants, there are so many other restaurants that are so great that could be on this list. And some of those restaurants you just named. Leviette is a restaurant that I wrote about many, many years ago when it opened. It's a beautiful little space on 11th Street. It's a slightly different sort of regional sort of approach to Vietnamese cuisine than some of the others. You know, communities come here from different parts of their origin countries. The things that I remember most from there are they had this fried chicken and a fish sauce, caramel sauce called Poppy's Chicken Wings that are so good. Once in a while we go there. And again, it is not busy for some reason.
Yeah.
But they've survived a really long time. So, you know, it's definitely part of the community.
Worth checking out.
Yeah, I've gone there so many. I used to live around the corner from there, and that was one of my
Leviette.
Go-to spots.
But you're across the street from, you know, Washington Avenue is this corridor of Southeast Asian strip mall businesses that are so vibrant and changing and
so
bustling. There's a lot of good stuff there, and we definitely had some restaurants from that neighborhood. That
you mentioned in the New Guard category, there's a place called Cafe Nan, Vietnamese South Philly. And one of the things I liked about this is that, from my understanding, is they specialize in a soup that isn't pho. So a lot of people know pho as the sort of the Vietnamese soup.
Yeah.
But I love when you put something on the list that features a dish that people don't typically eat from that cuisine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, people from Vietnam eat that cuisine, of course. Pho, you know, pho was one of the first things that we got to experience in America.
Right.
As a, you know, a comfort food from Vietnam. It's omnipresent. Bun Bo Huệ is a regional, I believe it's central Vietnam, and the soup is rich and spicy, and it's got some, a lot of lemongrass, but also a lot of, you know, shrimp paste in there that gives it a little bit of fermented funk to it. And it's also got a lot of mixed meats. So if you order the Dak Biet style, which means with everything, you get the pig's feet and you get some, you know, tripe and tendon and all, and cubes of jellied blood in there. And those are, that is a very hearty, you know, so for me, it's a wonderful thing to eat in the wintertime.
And it's Cafe Nan.
Cafe Nan, but
And you had some other Vietnamese places
as well. And there was another
restaurant
on Southeast Street called Café Diem, which was always sort of known as a spot for Bun Bo Huệ. And Café Nan is a little bit of a newer entry. That's why we put it on New Guard. And they're on the west side of Broad Street on West Passyunk Avenue. It's a mother and a son. And they make many other things. Their Bun Bo Huệ is sort of the reason to go, but they make a braised lemongrass chicken. They make a pho with a braised short rib that's incredible. Also, his chicken wings are incredible.
Chicken wings. And I never even associated chicken wings with Vietnamese cuisine. Oh, yeah.
They're some of the best things on the menu. Oh,
You know, crispy chicken it's all around the world. Everybody loves a crispy chicken, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have to say, Craig, because you had 36 entries on this list that you talked about, and you have this love for international cuisine, it seems like. Not a lot of American items on yours, but a lot of international. And so I wanted to stretch myself,
sure,
right, a little bit. And you had White Yak Restaurant on your list. It's a Himalayan restaurant. It's in Manayunk. They had Himalayan dumplings. I love dumplings.
Okay.
So tell me about this place. Tell me, because I need to stretch myself. Avi's been helping me stretch.
Know this. I ate there for the first time this weekend.
I didn't even know that.
We're
going to
get a fresh review.
So before you weigh in, yes. Tell me.
Well, so White Yak is a Tibetan restaurant, and they are in the Himalayas on the other side of the mountain range from Nepal. And we also have some wonderful Nepali restaurants that didn't make the 76, but were one of my favorites. I mentioned in a descent. but they both make dumplings called momo, and momo are sort of like a hearty, thick noodle skin dumpling, and they fill it with all kinds of meats and sauces that are varied. And you get, I love the at White Yak, they do a sampler of momos, but you got to kind of go off the sampler towards the more interesting things. Like there's a firecracker sauce. It's like spicy and tangy.
Mm.
It's quite delicious. But what's kind of interesting is the Himalayan mountain range divides Nepal and Tibet. And on one side, they share some things like momos. But on one side leans towards India and the other side leans towards China. So the Tibetan cuisine is there's stir-fried noodles. There's hand-ripped noodles with kumini lamb soup called tentuk that I love. Also a great sort of, cold weather food, which you might expect from Tibet.
So I have to check this out because I love dumplings. Should. And you telling me, what should I get if I were to pick a couple of things to
dumplings.
Sample. Get the dumplings.
Yeah,
all the
definitely get
kinds.
The dumplings. This thentuk soup, which is the sort of the mixed meat and spicy broth with these wide sort of hand-ripped noodles. She also makes her own sausage. This restaurant is a love letter to Tibet.
Oh.
And it's in Roxborough. And I love, we part of the challenge and the pleasure of doing this kind of list is finding restaurants in neighborhoods where maybe they're not as many as we wish there were. Representing, and so it's a really nice spot to go. It's a lovely dining room. Her husband's a contractor, so the building was like really nicely done. And it's a really pleasant place. The chef has a very light touch. Everything's very flavorful, but it's not real heavy. And I really enjoy it. It's one of our favorites. I actually celebrated my birthday there a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And
if it makes the Craig LeBan birthday circuit,
it's just sort of homey and lovely. And she, not knowing who I was, but she knew it was my birthday, she brought over this little white scarf that's a tradition in Tibet to celebrate somebody's birthday. And she just wrapped it around my neck, and then I ate more momo.
I love it.
That goes to
the vibes.
And
then you went there and loved it as well.
I loved it.
Did you get the white scarf treatment?
It was my birthday. But I will say, they were very accommodating of a child who was not having a good time. So they were very lovely people there. Briar emailed us. I think Briar's coming for your job because this is a great email. Briar says, spicy noodles in Chinatown, that's spice-C, is essential. It has the best hand-drawn noodles in the city, along with one of Philly's most hidden treasures, an extraordinary five-spice marinated egg that comes floating in your spicy, unctuous soup like a fragrant jewel, and a vat of pickled veggies on the table you can add yourself to your soup. The dumpling skins are handmade and silken thin. So good.
Shout out to Briar for that great writing.
I don't want to talk about another one here, Craig. This is a Carol emailed, some of the more long-lived restaurants don't get enough play in the media these days. I'm thinking particularly of a Bistro Romano, which has lasted with great food, romantic setting, and great marketing. But I want to use that as a springboard, actually, to talk about the icons category. Like I noted, you put down Oyster House in Center City.
Yeah.
You did not ignore the classics here.
No. As a matter of fact, we have quite a few. We have quite a few classics, and I was really impressed with that. you have Oyster House. You have Villa de Roma.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, what is a classic? We have Vetri Cucina. You know, Vetri's been here for 25 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
I'm lucky to have been here long enough to written the opening review for Vetri. When he showed up, it wasn't always a classic, but when you see these places kind of put roots and become really influential, that's really wonderful. But there were a number of places. John's Roast Pork.
Yep.
Yeah,
The Clam Tavern.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In Delco.
Yes.
I mean,
and I did not know about that place. I felt bad. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of it.
How about Sagami? We put Sagami mm-hmm. on this list, you know, and that was really tenuous because, you know, it was a couple that was, they were the pioneers of sushi in this region there in Collingswood. In the 70s, they did sushi, and it was a married couple, and the wife died last year, and it was really tragic.
Oh,
and everybody thought the Sagami was going to close, and they rallied, and they have reopened, and they are on our list because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you have until you lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me of a place in my neighborhood, Artisan Boulangère, which is a bakery, so it wasn't eligible for this list, I don't think. But they had a similar situation where the community rallied
Absolutely.
Around the restaurant, the bakery, and it's a wonderful spot, and it's great in South Philly. Shout them out.
Yeah, and I saw Corinne's Place on there as one of the classics.
Oh, yes.
Love them.
One of my favorites.
In Camden, yeah.
One of
Camden.
My favorites. And she was named an America's Classic by the James Beard Foundation a couple years ago. Yeah, Camden's got a couple places on this list.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about first, let me read some more comments. Amy says, I dream about the smoked chicken rigatoni at Crybaby Pasta. Holly from Cinnaminson says West Philly White Dog Cafe.
I like that place.
Good cocktails and appetizers. I've been going for decades and it's great. Ellen says great spot East Passyunk is El Chingon, a BYO with great mixers, guacamole mole, salsa verde, and ceviche is top notch. The chef used to be a baker at Park, and she also then shouts out Park and says, by the way, you could just walk in and buy a baguette. You don't need to go for the whole rigmarole. So El Chingon was on your list.
Is on our list.
Yeah, is on your list. Tell us a little bit about El Chingon.
Well, El Chingon is a fantastic, it is a Mexican restaurant. Let's start there. But it's quite different from a lot of the other Mexican restaurants that we have in town. Carlos Aparicio, the chef, was a baker, the original baker at Park.
Yeah.
She's very skilled with dough. So one of the core items at El Chingon, which is kind of an all-day cafe, you can go there for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or brunch, is he does a lot of baking, and he makes these semita rolls, which are traditional to the state of Puebla, where they make a sandwich. It's like it's a swirl top, you know, sesame-dusted roll, and they just pile the ingredients on traditionally like a milanesa, like a breaded sort of cutlet, and a smeared of, like, frijoles and a special herb that they put on as well, and cheese. And there's these wonderful sandwiches that he makes that nobody else makes quite like that. But he's also incredibly creative and collaborative and is doing a lot of seasonal things. I think this summer I went back when it was soft shell crab season. He was doing these soft shell crab tacos.
Oh,
but the tacos had epazote, so there was a Mexican herb that the tortillas are green, the crab was crisply fried, almost like a tempura fry, and then on top he made a plum salsa.
Avi's drooling over here.
It
was amazing.
Green taco soft shell crab. Wow.
Avi's drooling over here. I want to read a couple more comments from our listeners. Bob emails, our favorite restaurant, Alba, is in Malvern, PA. Some favorite dishes, Agnolotti del Plin and wild sea bass with mussels, potatoes, and leeks. That sounds delicious. Scott from Westchester emails, Seven Stars Inn, Phoenixville, and Stampede Barbecue in Montan, both are beyond awesome. Mm. I want to point out something that wasn't on your list. And I say this because I lived in Wilmington for about a year and a half. And one of my favorite restaurants in Wilmington, Delaware, was Columbus Inn. And it's so delicious. They have this lobster, shrimp, and scallop fried rice that my soon-to-be in-laws were like, you need to freeze this and ship this to South Carolina on a monthly basis. That's how much they loved it. And they have so many delicious things. The service is great. Why wasn't Delaware or Wilmington sort of included?
Well, you know, we have a vast region that we cover for the Inquirer from you know, the Jersey Shore to Lancaster all the way up. I say my territory would go from Princeton even down to Wilmington. For the purposes of this guide, however, we decided to kind of stick with inner ring, you know, the counties that directly kind of ring Philadelphia.
Okay.
And just because it was such a vast territory.
Yes.
So we decided not to include Delaware restaurants in this list. That doesn't mean that we don't do other lists. I've written a lot about Wilmington and Delaware over the years. And a couple years ago, I did a whole maybe five new restaurants that were in there. And we didn't include the Jersey Shore either, mm-hmm. which is such an integral part of our region. But we cover that all summer long. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, again, 76 sounds like a lot of restaurants. It's not.
There's,
it really isn't.
There's 6,000 plus in Philly. And if you add the rest of the region, I mean, we're talking so many restaurants.
There's a lot of great eating in Delaware in general and Wilmington, but we had to draw the line somewhere.
Well, I'm
Sorry.
Shouting out Columbus. And
Sorry,
I ate
Columbus
a lot of times there.
You have to go for the fried rice.
And by the way, send us your favorites, studio2@whyy.org or call 888-477-9499. Joseph says, I love North Third. Been going there for 20 plus years.
I like that place too.
Chef Peter is the king of soups. His mushroom bisque and all the others always use the freshest ingredients, and his tomato salads during the summer months are best. I've never heard of North Third.
They have the best, you know, orange. They have a blood orange martini that is so delicious.
Oh.
You could down
North
three
Third
of
is
them.
Fascinating. Woo. Because it was one of the original sort of gastropubs.
Yeah.
You know, 25 years ago, you know, these sort of corner bars that were cooking really great food helped put Philly on the map as a great neighborhood dining city.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Peter Dunmire was a star chef back then at Rouge. He was one of the original chefs at Rouge, and he helped open Blue Angel. And he sort of found his niche at North Third, and in fact, your listener hit it on the mark. He makes some of the best soups all the time. Mm-hmm. I always go for Peter's soups.
Can I ask you, I love when a restaurant story intersects with a neighborhood change or revival story. And you mentioned this place in Bristol called Jules at Market. I think I'm reading that right.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that and like what's going on in Bristol, Bucks County.
You know, Bristol's interesting, and I visited Bristol a couple times, and it seems to be, you know, one of these cute little historic downtowns that's having a revival.
Mm.
And there's a lot of things going on in Bristol. Among them, Dad's Hat Distillery. Actually, they have another name, but Dad's Hat Rye is made in a distillery in Bristol. And then downtown, there's a really great wood-fired pizza place, and there's a artisan cheese shop. And Jules at Market is an upscale sort of destination seafood-centric restaurant. And the owner started as a caterer, and she found this space as sort of like an industrial chic space. It's kind of a big open space with a kitchen that you can see, and sort of sparse. And it was initially opened as a commissary, and people loved her food so much that it has evolved and grown, and the menu has sort of evolved with it. She's brought on some talented chefs to work with her. Seafood, you know, had a wonderful branzino that was a crispy skin branzino over a burnt eggplant puree with
sort of
crispy tabbouleh.
Yeah.
And just good. And their focus was also on sustainable seafood.
Mm.
So there's a lot of considerations about overfishing and that kind of thing. So she's sourcing her seafood responsibly and, you know, turning out it's like a lovely environment. And she's expanding. She just opened a place across the street, like a al fresco kind of garden. So a lot's happening in Bristol. I think we're going to keep an eye on it. It could be the new, you know, Collingswood of Bucks County.
It's right there on the river, too.
Yeah.
And we only have a couple more minutes in this segment, but I got to ask you, what are you hoping people do with this list? Because there's so many ways to search it and so many ways to look at it.
It's a
what
feast for
hoping?
The eyes, too,
it is.
I have to say. It's
and there's a map.
Lovely
it's,
layout.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what? As a restaurant critic, I want to be useful to our readers. We help enrich their lives by giving them places to go and celebrate or just have a night out, you know, and be with friends. And, you know, the more that we can help introduce people to spots either in their neighborhood or far afield, you know, these are the restaurants that enliven our lives. And hopefully the people use us. That's the goal. And, you know, keep trying to redefine how we deliver this information to people. And I think this is turning out to be a really well-received model.
Yeah,
I love it.
I really like this
project quite a bit. I want to thank Philadelphia Inquirer restaurant critic and columnist Craig LeBan for talking with us today about The 76, their new project. Well done, Craig. Thanks for coming in. I wish we had a camera on you when you were reacting to other people's suggestions because that was a whole play in and of itself.
There were a lot of great suggestions.
There were, can I read a few more?
And I just want to say thank you for eating your way through the region for us.
Somebody has to do that.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do
all the
it.
Ones I didn't mention, too. You know, that's part of the process.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Craig. That's Craig LeBan. I'll also shout out Alejandro, La Esperanza in Lindenwald, ooh, Dave Radice, I guess, in Bluebell, maybe Radice.
Radice.
Jaime's Deli, Derek. Shout out Jaime's
Deli. Yeah.
And Marion Station. And there are so many more. But before we get out of here, we do have to mention who our Studio 2 DJ of the day is. Cherry, do you have it up? Do you want me to do it?
Sharon. Who suggested Food Glorious Food from Oliver.
There you go.
Wow. Go ahead.
Sharon says Food Glorious Food. We rarely play songs from musicals, but why not start this week?
Yes.
We also did get a lot of recommendations for Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel, which might have been
had to go with Oliver, but we
decided to go with Oliver. Let's hear a little bit from Studio 2 DJ Sharon. This is Food Glorious Food from Oliver. There you have
now
it.
Now I have the image of Oliver in my head now. And that wraps our show for
dinner
today.
Dinner and a show.
And it wraps our show for the week. Thank you to our producers, Debbie Bilder, Paige Murray Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks engineered today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory. Joan Isabella is our audio general manager. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg.
I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron. We will talk to you next week.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.